SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back just a couple of minutes into hour three on this Monday of Derby week. But this Monday is actually Oaks draw time, and we are going to listen in. They're over at the second level of the Aristides Lounge, where these draws have come to be conducted. And the Oaks draw, I can remember one point where the Oaks draw was basically just done in the racing office across the street, and of course that building is long gone, and they turned it into a parking lot. But we would all crowd in there. Normal draw, maybe 1 o'clock, give or take, and everybody would be right there for the pill draw. But now it's a little bit more of a formality. Let's listen in to Travis Stone as he gets ready to bring Ben Huffman and the team in to draw the Kentucky Oaks.
On Friday, full gate for the Kentucky Oaks this year, including two also eligibles. Scratch time for Oaks and Derby Day is Friday at 9 a.m. So we'll keep that in mind as you build your wagers and your tickets for this weekend. Joining me on stage this afternoon, will be this morning, I should say, is Kevin Flannery, who's president of Churchill Downs Racetrack. Come on up, Kevin. Justin Paul, who's vice president and associate general counsel for Churchill Downs. And Barbara Borden, who's the steward for Kentucky here at Churchill Downs. They will be presiding over the draw this morning. And on the table is Vice President of Racing Ben Huffman, who puts together the races we see here day in and day out at Churchill Downs. And to his left, your right, is Dan Bork, the Assistant Racing Secretary for Churchill Downs. Putting up the silks on the board is Katie Bouchard, well, Miss Kentucky.
I'm guessing that you can't hear. If I'm having trouble hearing
Kentucky
it,
Oaks fillies getting that any we will audio draw right from, now. The way it works is Ben will pull out an entry sheet, and then Dan will pull out a pill, and the sheet
draw.
And pill.
No, I don't have anything, Casey. I don't have any audio.
Friday's Kentucky Oaks will draw the first seven, take a little bit of a brief break, and draw the final seven after that. And so with no further ado,
try to pick it up,
send it over to Ben and Dan.
Off of my...
Okay, put in 14.
There we go. Now we're picking it up. There we go. No, it won't. Unbelievable. Now it won't.
Number 9.
I can't get the feed suddenly
nine.
From
Leora. Channing Hill.
Churchill.
Leora, so, post number 9 with Channing
Leora
Hill. Of course,
the
won the
nine.
Goldenrod here last
there we
year.
Go.
The marquee race for two fillies
guys.
At Churchill. Number 9, Leora.
I think it's the feed from that you're getting, because it's not even pulling up
number 11
on Kentucky.
11,
yeah.
Jeltran, Luis Saez.
Jeltran, number 11.
Jeltran,
big long shot
the 11.
Winner of the Devona Dale last time
and,
out at 50-1.
Leora. The
number
nine.
One.
One, out for a spin.
I'm not getting it, Case. I'm just telling you.
Number
I don't
one
hear anything.
Is out for a spin with a ride or two.
Out for a spin
by Dallas
the rail.
Stewart, another big long shot winner last time out.
Number 10.
Champagne
10,
Anyone.
Champagne Anyone. 10. Chris Landeros.
Green Wilkes.
Champagne Anyone was a local trainer, Ian Wilkes, with Chris Landeros.
It's coming in spotty, Case. That's better.
Number 4.
And then just cut four. Out. Bellafina draws the Flavian 4,
Pratt.
Which should
Bellafina,
be perfect
widely
four.
Expected to be a prohibitive favorite in this Friday's Kentucky Oaks. She's won 3 races in a row. She lost the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year. Had some trouble that day, though. Undefeated this year, Bellafina, number 4.
Number 8.
8, Motion Emotion, Mike Smith.
Motion Emotion is very fast. Expected to be on or near the lead with Tom Van Berg, the trainer.
No, you just lost it again.
Number 3.
No. There we go, Lady Apple.
3, Lady Apple, Ricardo Santana Jr.
Number 3 is Lady Apple, trained by Steve Asmussen, who, of course, has won the Kentucky Oaks before. Ricardo Santana Jr., one of the top riders here at Churchill Downs. Lady Apple, number 3 for the Kentucky Oaks. Those are the first 7. We'll take a brief break. We'll come back to draw the final 7 for Friday's Oaks.
So there you go. So half the field, 7 of the 14. Out for a spin. It will be on the rail.
Travis, first seven have been drawn, and we'll get some reaction from Brandon Sobel and Ed DeRosa. The first thing that stands out to me is out for a spin, drawing the rail with Irad Ortiz Jr. She's got speed. Looks like she's going to have to go.
Yeah, there's going to be no secret there. I think they're going to have to go ahead and get forward position. Showed good speed last time, has that fight. So kind of interesting. I think Tom Van Berg is the one celebrating a little bit right now. I mean, he wanted to draw on the outside or somewhat in the middle. That's a great post for Motion to Motion.
Right, and there's just three post positions further outside that Serengeti Empress can draw, 12, 13, and 14. And Bellafina drawing post position number four, as Travis Stone mentioned, likely the odds-on favorite for the Kentucky Oaks, and she should be able to fall into a good trip going into that first turn if she breaks well.
Yeah, she should, and also take notice, too, Lady Apple, some horses like to be outside, some horses like to be inside. Lady Apple had no problem being on the inside last time. She's probably going to get a great ground-saving trip for Steve Asmussen, and we talked about her being an up-and-coming filly in here. I think she drew well also.
And Leora's got some tactical speed as well, so Wayne Catalano's got to be happy, you would guess, with post position number nine. He should be able to sit in a good stalking trip. Channing Hill should with Leora. And Champagne Anyone, post position number 10. Kind of a stalking type. She wants to try to avoid getting hung wide into that first turn.
I think that's exactly it. Going into that first turn, you're just going to try to tuck in and save as much ground as you can.
Jelcher and drawing post position number 11 again. 7 of the 14 have been drawn. We've got 7 more to go. And out for a spin, drawing the rail. Likely favorite there, Bellafina, drawing post position number 4.
Yeah. And I think Bellafina, with her natural speed, she should be able to secure a good spot like you talked about earlier. Especially, we'll see what happens with Serengeti Empress, and out for a spin, probably wanting to go. So I think the post is fine for her. I'm not really too concerned.
7 down, 7 to go. We'll send it back to the voice of Churchill Downs, Travis Stone, for the remainder of the 7 in the Kentucky Oaks draw. Travis.
And now we'll draw the final 7 for the full gate. Kentucky Oaks once again taking place on Friday. $1.25 million on the line for the Kentucky Oaks this year. 7 more to draw. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Number 2.
2, Chocolate Kisses, Julian Le Perroux.
Chocolate Kisses, Julian Le Perroux, for trainer Mark Cassie. She's won on both surfaces before, but her biggest win to date, of course, was on the dirt. Chocolate Kisses, Julian Le Perroux.
Thirteen,
Serengeti Empress, Jose Ortiz.
Serengeti Empress, like many of the fillies in here, she's very fast. So has a lot of early speed. She's a winner at Churchill Downs, expected to be on or near the lead with jockey Jose Ortiz, for trainer Tom Amos.
5,
Flor de la Mar, Joel Rosario.
Bob Baffert, a 3-time Kentucky Oaks winner, will saddle Flor de la Mar, who just got her career started in late January. Pretty lightly raced coming into the Kentucky Oaks this year for Joel Rosario.
6, 7, 12, and 14 available.
Number 6.
6, Positive Spirit, Manny Franco.
Manny Franco will ride Positive Spirit for relatively young trainer Rudolph Merced, who just started training back in 2017. Positive Spirit does have a win at Churchill Downs. She won the Grade 2 Demoiselle at Aqueduct last year. That is Positive Spirit with Manny Franco.
Number 12.
12 is Street Band, Sophie Doyle.
Sophie Doyle will ride number 12, Street Band, for trainer Larry Jones, the Fairgrounds Oaks winner. Larry Jones is a 3-time Kentucky Oaks winner. He last won in 2015 with Lovely Maria. That's Street Band with Sophie Doyle.
Number 7.
7 is Jaywalk, Javier Castellano.
Jaywalk with Javier Castellano, number 7 for the Kentucky Oaks, of course, was last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner. She hasn't quite found that form yet this year, but they've said that they're pointing for the Kentucky Oaks, as we'd expect. Of course, John Service won the Kentucky Oaks with Catherine Sophia. He's also a Derby-winning trainer. That is Jaywalk, number 7.
14.
14 is Restless Rider, Brian Hernandez Jr.
Restless Rider has never been worse than second in all seven of her career starts. Brian Hernandez Jr. knows Churchill Downs pretty well. She's a grade one winner. She won a grade one at the age of two. Restless Rider has drawn post 14 for Friday's Kentucky Oaks. Take a brief break. That is the field. Once again, more than $1.25 million on the line in the Kentucky Oaks on Friday. We'll take a brief break, come back, and we'll get Mike Battaglia's morning line odds for Friday's Oaks. And don't forget, there's also two also eligibles, which they don't have to have the pill pull because they're on the AE list, 15 Dunbar Road and 16 Point of Honor in this year's Kentucky Oaks. Dunbar Road, for those of you taking notes, Jose Ortiz listed Johnny Velasquez on 16 Point of Honor. They can only draw into the Oaks should there be a scratch. Once again, scratch time is Friday at 9 a.m. We'll be back with the morning line odds after this.
Well, there's
Serengeti Empress, the likely speed, likely pace. That
yeah, turn that down, Kay, and we will keep it up or at least on screen for the odds when Mike Battaglia joins us. But to run it down, out for a spin, draws the rail, Chocolate Kisses for Mark Cassie, the two Lady Apple, mild upsetter in the fantasy. She draws the three, Bella Fina and Flavian Pratt. And we're going to talk to Simon Callahan shortly after the draw. Bella Fina, the four, Flor de Lamar, and Joel Rosario for Baffert, the five, Positive Spirit. And we talked to Rudy Brissett several weeks ago after Quip won. And Brissett excited and said she's done very well since the second place finish in New York. Jaywalk, who, despite everybody wanting to give up on Jaywalk, go back and watch the replay on her two starts this year. Every reason for her just to plummet to the back of a pack, and she stayed on both times and dug in. And so if, in fact, third off the layoff, the key, Jaywalk should not just be summarily dismissed here. And, of course, coming back, you know, much like we brought up with Gary Young, and the fact of coming back, you know, to a track where she performed quite well. Motion to Motion, the 8 with Mike Smith, Tom Van Berg, Leora for Wayne Catalano, the 9. Champagne, anyone who feels like she'll vie for second choice status. How about Jeltrin, the upsetter down in Florida? The 11, the 12, Street Band, Sophie Doyle. And didn't, let me think about this for a second. Rosina Pravnik won for Steve Asmussen, not for Larry Jones. Or maybe for Larry Jones, too. I got to think about that for a second. But I was going to say, Larry Jones, Oaks, and a female jockey. Serengeti Empress, Jose Ortiz, and coming out of that very nice work the other morning for Tom Amos. We talked to Tom afterward. And Restless Rider, who worked today, or didn't work today. Yeah, did she? I don't know if it was an official workout, but she went, it seemed, this morning. So there's your field of 14. And yeah, she did. She did work Restless Rider this morning. And just kind of a maintenance, it seemed. Keeping an eye here, if I think I see Battaglia. Is that, it looks like Battaglia with Travis probably going over the odds. So we'll keep tabs on them throwing it back upstairs. I'm going to anticipate that Simon Callahan's absolutely delighted with the four. The four hole here should be able to get a ground saving trip. Should Pratt and move much as we've seen her move, you know, in her wins this year, as appropriate. So I think she'll set up shop. Out for a spin, obviously, is going to go, but the speed to her outside as well, any number of them between Serengeti Empress all the way outside and Leora. Here we go. Here's your morning line odds.
Forward with the TwinSpires.com morning line odds for Friday's 145th Kentucky Oaks. Once again, it's on Friday, the 11th of 13 races. $1.25 million on the line. Last year's winner, Monomoy Girl, used the Kentucky Oaks to springboard a championship season. So big stuff happening in the Kentucky Oaks. Let's take a look at the TwinSpires.com morning line odds, starting from the rail out number one, out for a spin, 15-1. Number two, Chocolate Kisses, 20-1. Number three, Lady Apple, 20-1. Bellafina, number four, will be the morning line favorite for the Kentucky Oaks at 2-1. Number five, Flor de la Mar, 20-1. Number six, Positive Spirit, 30-1. Number seven, the Breeders' Cup winner, Jaywalk, 8-1. Number eight, Motion Emotion, 15-1. Number nine, Leora, 20-1. Number 10, Champagne Anyone, 6-1. Number 11, Jeltrin, 15-1. Number 12, Street Band, 15-1. Number 13, Serengeti Empress, 8-1. Number 14, Restless Rider, 6-1. Moving to the AE list, once again, scratch time is Friday at 9 a.m. Should number 15, Dunbar Road, draw into the race, she'll be the second favorite on the morning line at 5-1. And number 16, Point of Honor, 30-1. So that's the field for Friday's 145th Kentucky Oaks. The morning line favorite, number four, Bellafina at 2-1, 1.25 million. In the kitty for the Kentucky Oaks on Friday. Three-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth. Don't forget to join us tomorrow at this time, and we'll draw the Kentucky Derby. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week here at Churchill Downs. We'll see you tomorrow, and we'll see you this weekend for the Oaks and the Derby. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good day.
There you go. And a quick rundown for those that were taking notes. Out for a Spin, the 1, 15-1, Chocolate Kisses, the 2, 20-1, Lady Apple, the 3, 20-1, Bellafina, the 4, 2-1, Flor de la Mar, the 5, 20-1, Positive Spirit, the 6, 30-1, Jaywalk, the 7, 8-1, Motion of Motion, Jaywalk, the 7, 8-1, right, Motion of Motion, the 8, 15-1, Leora, the 9, 20-1, Champagne Anyone, the 6, 10, or the 10 at 6-1, Jeltrin, the 11, 15-1, Street Band, the 12 at 15-1, Serengeti Empress, basically third, fourth choice, 13 the hole and 8-1, Restless Rider, the 14 and 6-1, Dunbar Road, who ends up excluded, would be the second choice on the morning line should she get in. But 5-1 right now, outside looking in, and Point of Honor, 30-1, the 16, two AEs here. So a very clear favoritism for Bellafina. We'll do this. Let's take the break right here. We'll come back, and we should have a visit with Simon Callahan. Simon had to go to the dentist after the Oaks win. We didn't get to talk to him when we came back to Santa Anita following the Oaks and Derby weekend at Arcadia. So we'll get a chance to talk to Simon when we come back. At the races, we're at the Downs, the Oaks draw done. They'll draw the rest of that card, and probably an overnight, I would think, by typically fairly 2:30-ish, give or take, maybe 3, because Marty and I have historically kind of hung out in the racing office for the Oaks draw. So keep an eye out, and I'll tweet it out as soon as the overnight is out. And of course, the Oaks and those other five stakes we talked about, including the Grade One La Troyenne. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
This year's Kentucky Derby is wide open. Horse players will need all the help they can get. Begin your quest for the first Saturday in May success with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 26th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier, XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel, and Millie Ball, Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi, Santa Anita's John White, and At the Races radio host Steve Vick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version available May 2nd. Go to ExpressBet.com to get the guide to open a new account account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Raise the prices yesterday at the grocery store. Reckless man hanging out front, always gets ignored. Can we ever solve these problems in our changing world? Will our children ever get to play out in the yard? There's a
back at the races, about 25 minutes into hour three from Churchill Downs, and looking forward to Friday, Oaks Day, and we just listened in to the Oaks draw, and I suggested Simon Callahan and Kaleem Shah and the team, Flavian Pratt and everybody, with the four-hole and the 2-1 favorite, Bella Fina, and the champion returns to the opportunity at Churchill for the Oaks on Friday, and Simon Callahan joins us. Perfect. Simon, good morning. Yep. There we go. Simon Callahan, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Simon, we couldn't talk after the Santa Anita Oaks. The dentist the took priority.
Yeah. Exactly. Much better now, though.
That a boy. Well, and certainly, you know, you always 14 horse field. You've got to sweat out. You got to sweat out the draw. You don't want to be inside too deep. You don't want to be too far outside. The four feels like a perfect spot for Flavian to set up shop.
I think so. It looks like there's going to be some speed on the outside of a. You know, we didn't want to get post one or two. So I feel like four is a pretty good compromise.
Talk about how she's done since the Santa Anita Oaks.
She's done really good. You know, she's not missed any training in any way. She's had two really nice freezes here at Santa Anita, and she left early hours of this morning, and should be arriving at Churchill pretty soon.
And when do you arrive?
Tomorrow morning I leave California, so I'll be there tomorrow afternoon.
You know, and it's interesting, Simon, because with all of the difficulties that have been well publicized over the winter at Santa Anita, she really didn't seem to be affected. And you made the decision to sit out between February and April after she came back and had won the Santa Ynez and the Las Virgenes, and that plan worked to a T. And it also felt like she was. Really, she won with real authority in the Oaks. Just feels like the plan you put together really was uninterrupted by the weather and anything else that went on at Santa Anita.
Yeah, that's right. Our plan was always to run in the first two stakes and then skip the third one and then have a fresh filly going into the Oaks. Like you said, it all worked out perfectly. Like I said, we've been really happy with her since. We had one workout earlier in the year where we had to go to Los Alamitos, but pretty much apart from that, everything's been, she's been on a regular pattern, and, like you said, it worked out good.
Talk a little bit about coming back to Churchill, because, the Breeders' Cup last year in the Juvenile Fillies, she didn't have a great start, and that kind of put her on the defensive immediately. Some thoughts about returning here, and there's going to be discussion that, her only stake loss, came at Churchill.
Yeah, honestly, I really do firmly believe that it, wasn't the racetrack itself. I think there were lots of little factors that, contributed to her not running her best race. One of them you alluded to when she broke a little bit flat-footed and then we rushed up. And, she just never really got in a great rhythm in that race. Whereas the filly that won, just broke really clean and was in the bit the whole way and got a really good trip. We were just, we were just playing catch up and it just didn't unfold the way we hoped. And then, like I said, after the race, she was showing signs that, she came into season and, so like I said, I think lots of little factors, but, we're pretty adamant that it wasn't Churchill racetrack itself.
Well, and, for you to come back and get a chance to win a race like this and bring bring a favorite and a very clear favorite, some thoughts. Let's be honest, you were denied the chance to bring Abel Tasman to the Oaks. This for you to me feels like something special as an opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's, it's always fun when you get the chance to come into any big race like this, with a favorite. It's where everyone wants to be. Certainly a little bit more pressure when you have the favorite, but, we're looking. Into the race, and, she is, the favorite, for a reason, and, let's hope she can pull it off.
Well, in addition to what's going to happen here Friday, you're also going to have to keep an eye back home because you're already set up to compete in the Señorita.
Yeah, two really nice fillies are running in the Señorita. Finished first and second last time. This time we're dropping back to a mile, and I think that will be fine for both fillies. And it's obviously going to be a pretty close race. You've got the horse of Richie Bolters that was in the blanket finish with us last time. But, two fillies are doing great and, feel like we've got a really good shot.
Maxim Rate with Kent DeSormo and Hostess, who's already a stake winner with Brice Blanc. This comes it's Saturday, actually, right? It's Saturday.
It's
Saturday card.
It's Saturday, yeah. It's Saturday.
Well, you're going to, after Oaks, you're going to stay around Saturday?
I'm actually going to go to Lexington and go and watch it with a group of friends and fly back to California on Sunday.
Perfect. That's not necessarily a bad choice. And of course, you had a your own Derby success and. I think back, boy, Simon, it feels, how many years ago was that already, American Pharaohs?
4 years ago, I believe.
Wow.
4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
Well, as I said, you don't care if it's a filly or a colt that brings you back on days like this, right?
Exactly, no. I mean, we felt we had a great chance with him, and, you know, he ran a fantastic race, and then, you know, everything went perfectly in terms of the race, and we got beat by an exceptional racehorse. So, it's nice to be coming back, with a filly this time, and hopefully we run a really good race again.
A couple of quick notes on some other recent performers that... All Out Blitz, going back to last weekend. A good second in the Kona Gold.
Ran a really good second, yeah. No, he's a horse that's been improving, race to race. And bumped into a good horse of John Sadler's. But, you know, he ran a courageous race. And, he's going to be a fun horse to ship around. And, you know, if we pick and choose the right spot for him, you know, I think he's got a lot of earning potential.
You're going to keep him short at this point?
Yeah, I think we're going to run at Santa Anita in the 7/8 race, the next stake that we have here. And then we'll probably make a sort of summer campaign plan.
How about the older horse, too, True Valor, last time we saw in the Thunder Road?
Yeah, he had a little bit of time off after that race. Nothing major. He's actually due to come back to my barn in a couple of weeks. Just had some time off at the farm. So we're now going to sort of realign our sights for, working backwards from the Breeders' Cup.
Well, the focus, obviously, right here at Churchill on Friday, the Kentucky Oaks and Bella Fina streaking toward the mile in the eighth opportunity. Simon, safe travels for her on her way now, and for you tomorrow. We'll see you on Friday.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Simon Callahan and Kaleem Shah's Bella Fina. Nearly spotless record with only the Breeders' Cup. I mean, and it's really true. That you think back to Jaywalk's performance, and If you didn't break running, in the way she pretty much just drowned that field, you can't really hold that fourth place finish too much against her. This should be anxious to see her getting over the racetrack here in the coming days. So Bella Fina from the 4-hole, 2-1, and Simon Callahan. He's had a parade. I mean, I hope he doesn't mind that I brought up the Abel Tasman scenario, but let's be honest. She was snatched away from him after he had made her a Grade One winner, was there for the Starlet, and what can you say? He also had the Arnold Zetcher filly. I think the year before, Fashion Plate, she won the Santa Anita Oaks, but then didn't run well and got hurt. Either got hurt in the Oaks or got hurt not long after the Oaks. But Simon Callahan, steady parade, particularly of fillies, and I mentioned the Senorita card on Saturday that's been drawn already. They got an 11 race card at Santa Anita to tie in, and of course everywhere around the country will be tied in on Saturday, the Derby Day. New York with a big stake card we hinted at with Andy the other day. Even on Friday too, actually. New York's got the flat out and Oaklawn's got the Oaklawn Mile. And then on Saturday, Belmont, the Fort Marcy, the Sheepshead Bay, the Westchester. Gulfstream slapped a couple of $75,000 stakes together, the English Channel and the Honey Rider. Oaklawn with the Arkansas Breeders' Championship, the new Oaklawn Invitational, the quasi Northern Spur utilization. In addition to the Senorita, there's the Angels Flight, 7-furlong filly race. Sunland has got stakes. Tampa's got some FTBOA, Florida Sire action, and Woodbine's got the Jacques Cartier. So, just a tremendous, tremendous day. Monmouth, too. Monmouth gets to open the cliffhanger. Gets their season started. So, a lot to look forward to. All right, we got about 20 minutes to look forward to. We'll take our last break of the morning and come right back.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Last segment on this Monday Derby week, and you know, I know everybody's been looking forward to this. We've got two different surprises, actually, and the first is everyone has been anxiously awaiting my reaction, my analysis. I could have done this with Johnny D, but Kevin Kirstein instead. The Oaks draw. No, we don't care about that. The Eagles draft, KK.
I mean, are we grading it on what should we grade it on, like ABCD scale, or are we a 1 through 5? Are we a 5-star? What's the grade? I'd say it's a solid B, right?
No, I think it's better than that.
You think so?
I think it's better than that.
See, I don't know. Maybe it's just Derby brain in me. I think it's a solid B.
All right, I'm
maybe
grading on the curve, I guess, because I loved it. It's classic. It's a classic countermand. Oh, it's the greatest draft for defensive players in history. Let's go get all the offensive players that everybody's ignoring. That I'd love.
True.
That. Well, the tackle's a perfect replacement for Peters and long term. Oh, it's great.
I'm just a pessimist.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I just fit in with everyone else from Philly, except we're now here in Kentucky.
Well, exactly. Kevin Kirstein, everybody, who, of course, is the lieutenant for Darren Rogers, and you've really become an institution here. You've immediately have cemented that role.
I appreciate that. That's quite the compliment from you, Steve.
Not at all. I'm as liable as anybody to butter up, the visitors. Let's also say hello to.
Yeah, we got a legend next to me.
Well, we've got literally a barnstorming track announcer that is liable to turn up anywhere and actually has turned up everywhere over the last week. Jason Beam.
Steve, it's always good to see you. I haven't seen you since Vegas.
Vegas?
I never run into you in our home base. It's only.
Well, I don't go there. I haven't been there in 100 years.
Yeah.
I used to do work with Fred Myers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll find it at Freddy's.
Well, it will find you.
As a young man, I didn't know Fred Myers didn't exist outside of the real, Seattle and the Northwest. And so I remember when I moved to Cincinnati to work at River Downs, asking the people, like, oh, where's the local Fred Meyer at? And they're like, what are you talking about?
It's called Kroger.
We got Target.
Yeah. Kroger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kroger in Cincinnati.
Overrated.
You've turned up at Hawthorne. You've turned up at
Arlington.
Did you go to Century?
I went to Century Downs to they needed a fill-in for their closing day of the harness meet, and back in January. So I road tripped to Calgary through a snowy prairie, and went up and did a day there. And I went to check out the new track, and then I went through North Dakota and stopped at Canterbury, which I thought Canterbury was really, really cool. By the way,
oh, Canterbury's really nice.
It was awesome. And then went to Arlington and Hawthorne and had a great time there. And now enjoying a few days at Churchill Downs before going over to Jersey.
Outstanding, and going to be handling the calls from Monmouth until we get Frank released from custody.
Yeah, he's over in Southern California. I think my last day is June 24th, the second to last weekend of June. UN weekend is my last weekend.
Oh, so you'll get to call United Nations.
I've never called a graded stakes race before.
What?
So, yeah, wow. Well, Portland and River.
Huh. That, I guess
the,
so.
The Cradle was ungraded 2 years before. In fact, the Cradle, I think the first year it was ungraded was the year Bellamy Road won it.
How funny is that?
Yeah, and that was Bill Downs was calling there then. And so, I've never called a graded stakes race. I think the biggest race I called was the $200,000 Cradle.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, super excited.
To have a very historic race be your first ever, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. I mean, Chad Brown horse. I mean, that going to Gulfstream Park West for a couple weeks, that was the coolest thing. Was like there was, live oak plantation silks there. In fact, I called Cutting Humor's maiden win.
I was watching that day. Just maybe it was because you were there, and I ended up watching, and I have talked to media. I told Todd weeks later, said, that horse was all right, even though it got like a 78 buyer.
Yeah.
I saw it live, and I thought, this horse is all right.
I distinctly remember thinking, like, wow, Todd, I just called a Todd Fletcher horse, and it was Starlight Silks, and so it was just kind of a neat
it's
thing.
A big deal.
But then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, I'm like, why do I know the name Cutting Humor? And then he's winning the Sutherland Derby.
Huh. And, of course, you had some challenge at Calder, basically calling from the ground. I mean,
it's three storage trailers stacked on top of each other, and I'm in the top one. The hardest part isn't the low; it's the fact that on the turns, it's a flat window. You have to lean out, and I'm 6'4", but to get up to where you can kind of bend and lean out, we stand on. And Pete does it too. You stand on top of two rolls of ticket paper. And so, and then on, on the turn, the hedges are a little tall, so you can't see the saddle down. It was easily the most challenging announcing assignment, but it was really, really fun.
Well, just pretend that it was Summit of Speed and you were calling Princess Rudy.
I certainly thought about that. Yeah. Like there's some amazing Lost in the Fog.
And I was there for that.
Emma Bovary,
who
was an Emerald Downs horse, went on to win the Princess Rudy down there. So I definitely thought a lot about that. I thought a lot about Phil Saul. Saltzman, who called there for so long, and you know they're not going to get him today. And it was a neat little thing.
It was a wonderful place. Yeah. It's a tragedy what's gone on there. Let me get a little bit of the KK. Your ears must have been burning while Pete Fornital and I were celebrating your outstanding performance. You've immersed yourself in the contest scene, and and certainly being around Travis Stone will rub off on your bankroll.
Yeah, you know, I spent a couple of contests there with Travis and Nick, and you know they caused me to be degenerates in the green room over at Keeneland, even though I didn't play in the contest. And so I started saving up since the fall contest last year, and I'm like, I'm going to play in this thing. I know Kentucky Racing, and why not give it a shot? And I didn't tell my wife how much the entry fee was, and then lo and behold, she took most of the winnings from that. So, but I mean, just a perfect day of racing.
And you came up yesterday as well when we were at Lemieux for our annual. We had actually had two of the the pre-Derby week brunches for several years. John Nichols has put it together, and we've been at Lemieux for like 4 years in a row. And typically it's Brian and Tracy Atfield and Michelle Lovell, who of course won the first race of the meet this year on Saturday night. John, myself, and Mike Vesey. That was the original group the first couple of years. Then Vesey wasn't around last year. But this year it ended up being with Megan Devine and Norm Cassie. And Norm actually hit the trifecta of different alcohols.
Wow.
For breakfast. He had three, and I was very impressed. But you came up, and I didn't realize that you guys were married. I thought you were just cohabitating.
Yeah, we're married.
I didn't realize. So 2 years.
2 years, yeah, going on 2 years. Norm didn't go to my wedding. He went to go train at Saratoga, and he didn't come to my wedding. So I still have a little bit chip on my shoulder. So when he and Gabby got married, I didn't make the road trip.
Did you protest?
Yeah, I didn't make the road trip to Maryland. I went to Kentucky Downs instead.
There you go. That's tit for tat. And explain your background, because you jumped in at the quarter pole into this industry, it seems. All of a sudden, it just felt like you were around forever, but you hadn't been.
No, I didn't really know what a horse was until 2008 in the fall meet when I came down here, went to Bellarmine a few miles away from Churchill, and got here on a bowling scholarship. And so I ended up bowling at Bellarmine for a couple of years. But I came here in the fall meet. I was a big degenerate through high school. I'd play the sports cards and the scratch-offs, and so I liked gambling. And so my friend was like, hey, let's go to Churchill. I said, oh, I've heard of that. I know what the Derby is. And took me out here one fall day, and I said, man, this is awesome. And I just essentially immersed myself in here. In the wintertime, I would come out for simulcasting. I'd skip classes. I'd watch TVG in my dorm room. And then I ended up getting hooked up with Bruno DiGiulio, and he helped me out doing some clocking and started out there. Went to Horse Racing Nation from that, and I've always wanted to get in at Churchill because my mom always was on me, you need a full-time job with benefits after you graduate college. Of course, that's what every mom wants to tell their kid. And so I ended up getting hooked up with the HR guy here at Churchill through a program at Bellarmine, and I had my first meeting with him. It was my junior year, and I was nervous as all get out. I'm like, this is finally the opportunity. And he no-showed. However, 2 weeks later, me and my wife, we go to this bar, this little hole-in-the-wall bar called Side and Funds, about a couple of miles away from the track, and here he is, the HR guy from Churchill, because, I'm the guy that would go stalk him on Facebook just to make sure I knew what the guy looked like and everything when
you?
I met him. So I saw the guy there, he was drinking a vodka cranberry. I went over and bought him a drink, and we ended up having a meeting about 2 weeks later after that, and I got my position here at Churchill as an intern, and Darren saved me from the marketing department a couple years ago, and I've been here six derbies now.
It's 6 years you've been here?
Six derbies, yeah. We count years in derbies because they
Holy
take
cow.
Years off
that
for
doesn't
our lives.
Seem that seems unbelievable.
I was in marketing for 4 years, and then then Darren saved me.
All right, so you've been in this job how long?
This will be my third derby with Darren
in communications.
Yeah,
outstanding. And of course, tell everybody where you grew up, because
I'm outside of Philadelphia. So my mom and dad are bringing me Stock's pound cake on the way down here. So we're going to have to share that on Derby Day, and got tasty cakes in my office, and it's, you know.
I was wondering what was with the dessert collection.
Yeah, it's Tasty Cakes. Butterscotch crepes.
I've never heard of.
Are you a Tasty Cakes guy?
I, having grown up in the Hartford area, we were more into Drake's and, you know, Devil Dogs, which is.
Yeah, they're good.
The Devil Dogs are more than good. A Devil Dog would kick a Twinkie's ass from here to Lexington.
But it would not kick a Butterscotch Crimpet's ass.
Funny Bone? You ever have a Funny Bone?
No.
Funny Bones?
I don't know. I'm from way over on the other side of the country.
Well, I have heard
of Cookie Puss. Do you know that one?
Cookie Puss is a Carvel ice cream cake.
Cookie Puss.
That's the only reason I've heard of it, because of Howard Stern.
Well, that's right. That's actually a great.
I love that.
And Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale. He used to have his guy call in as Fudgy the Whale, and they'd alter his voice. I'm Fudgy the Whale. Yeah, stupid thing.
Absolutely. I'm Tom Carvel. Tom Carvel. Has this been explained to you?
Tom Carvel is literally just through the radio.
Tom Carvel, the post-war home builder, and he started the Carvel ice cream, and it became an institution in New York. But back to Drake's, because that's more important. A Devil Dog is a.
Oh, I know the devil. Yeah, it's the chocolate with the cream in it.
Exactly, yeah. And out of this world. Funny Bone is sort of like a sponge cake with peanut butter cream.
Ooh, see, I'm a peanut butter guy.
Chocolate.
That's my wheelhouse.
You'll find Funny Bones and Yodels, which is a Swiss roll.
Okay.
Out of this world. I think Casey's weighing
in.
Casey gives the thumbs up on the Devil Dogs.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, we've managed. This would have been a great hour, actually.
It could have been.
But let's get a couple of quick thoughts from you here. Just had the Oaks draw. You were in attendance and managing.
Yeah.
Are you trying to beat Bellafina? We just had Simon Gallagher.
I am. I think she doesn't probably want to go that far, and so obviously I'm trying to beat her. I think Champagne Anyone is sitting on a really good effort. You're going to get a square price on her, and I think the way that she's been training. We saw the work yesterday. We were up there, and that's how she works solo. But the work two back when she was in company, she just absolutely freaked.
I thought she worked fine yesterday solo.
And that's how she works, though, solo. And she looks great, but when she was in company, she absolutely freaked. And so I know the Wilkes team, and I'm a homer because I'm buddies with Chris, but really excited for them, and Chris really excited to ride in his first Oaks. So betting her.
We're all hoping the best for the baby. The baby is fighting. It was a preemie, and they're hoping for he's actually in the hospital. So we'll check with Tracy and
he was at the barn this morning, though.
Good. All right.
Yeah. So he made a, he was a barn okay, sighting this
on,
morning.
Okay. Good. That means he's out of the hospital.
He was
obviously hanging
with the cat and hanging with Ricardo Santana, Uncle Ricky, as Chris calls him.
Outstanding. And your early Derby thoughts before tomorrow?
I'm on win. Regardless,
Look at you.
It's one of those things where I had to give my Derby selection 2.5 weeks ago, and I don't like to do that. I like to see them all train, and so I gave out win, and then the workout yesterday just sort of cemented my attitude with him. It's one of those where, even though it's a wide open field and Omaha Beach is the one to beat and he looks phenomenal, I think you're okay taking a flyer with a horse that'll be 20-1 because it's anything can happen in this year's field.
Well, you and Marty McGee is all in on win since
last week. Of
course,
he's a Maryland guy.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. That's a good way. And I did bring Marty to dinner with the Trombettas ahead of the Tampa Bay Derby to Christino's in Clearwater Beach. And so maybe that cemented.
I heard about that dinner. We talked about, Mike and I talked about the golf cart ride back after he almost had a heart attack after the breeze yesterday.
Well, that was a kooky situation and worked out fine. Some early Oaks Derby thoughts from Jason Bean?
I mean, I try to be a non-favorite guy as much as I can. And with Bellafina, I kept thinking she seems to always fall into the first over right on the outside kind of trip.
And she's getting that again.
Yeah, well, but there's the few speed horse from the outside, so I'm curious just where she ends up. Her one kind of clunker was here. Obviously, it was a very, very tough race, but where she ran fourth in the juvenile last year. So I don't know. I'm literally after Ed forces us to eat that Skyline chili stuff for lunch, I'm going home to look a little more in depth at all the races now that we've drawn the Oaks card.
This will be your first Cincinnati style chili.
I lived in Cincinnati for 3 years and I had.
Oh, that's right.
Gold Star. And I wasn't really impressed, so I never went back. But Ed wants me to see what it's all about. what does Scott
if I hear that him, I one more time, I'm going to
you had
vomit.
You had the funniest line I've ever heard in radio. Last time we were at NHC, I said something about that, and you go, we should have a top five list of things Ed wants to see about. And it was so inside baseball that, like, five of us understood it. But I told Ed, I go, Ed, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard on the radio. And I was guffawing after I left because four people would know it. But if you knew it was so funny.
Andy Serling taught me years ago. I said something to him that was over the head if people jumped, and I said, I probably shouldn't. He said, no. He said, always, if you have that instinct, just say it, and the people who like it will really like it, and everybody else will wait for the next one.
That's good radio advice.
Well, we'll see you around here for the next couple of days.
I'll be here. Yeah, I'm leaving Wednesday morning.
And then we'll check in with you early on in you know, later in May about Nunzio's and, you know, where you end up, Max's hot dog.
Miramati sent me the whole list.
Oh, so you're all set. You're in great shape, and you will get final thoughts later in the week. We are off, and just John Nichols just weighed in on Cincinnati style chili. He will take a pass across the board. A lot of fun this morning. A terrific Gary Young hour with Johnny D, and of course the draw. And what else did we do? Simon Callahan joined us for a reaction. He was happy. He seemed very comfortable. If you missed anything, we'll have tomorrow's replay, 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. And, of course, a little bit later, as soon as Case has got the opportunity, later this afternoon or early evening for the archive and the podcast. Have a great day, everybody. This flew by, predictably, as the whole week will. Talk to you in the morning.
We have to go killing all the bees.
Hey-oh!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need